Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know
Yeah, we did. We started to burn many things we found. That's the great Dara Williams with Pete Seeger and David Byrne singing the Soartopia theme song. We're back for another hour of the Soartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. Thank you so much for joining us here at PRM with our wonderful crew in New York City and a great guest calling us from the other coast, Frida Sidoroff, head of the, or a member of the, I don't know, Frida, what is your title with the Garifuna Heritage Foundation here? Are you the executive director?
I am the founder and producer of the Garifuna International Film Festival.
Great. And that is coming up. We're with Frida Sidoroff, who has quite a story of her own to tell. We are giving her the whole hour today at the Soartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. She's a fascinating human being. We have talked on the phone, and I plan to meet you at the film festival in Los Angeles, which is when? Why don't you tell us when this film festival is?
Well, the festival is going to be it's scheduled May the 22nd through the 25th at the Electric Lodge in Venice, California.
Ah, Venice, California, with all those gondolas and great Italian food. How many? This is a film festival. I got to remember, I've talked to you, but our listeners have not yet met you. So, Frida Sidoroff, you have a wonderful, wonderful history. I want to talk to you about that to start. But you're doing this film festival. It's a native-based film festival. It's in Los Angeles, Venice, of course, on the western shore of Los Angeles, just south of Santa Monica, the home of the homeless. And tell us a bit quickly about the film festival. Then I want to hear about you, and then we will talk about some of the specific films in the film festival. But I have you on the Soartopia Green Power and Wellness Show for a specific reason. I found your story to be fascinating, and looked at the description of some of the films in this film festival, and they're terrific. And you're having presenters. You're also going to have the great Marianne Williamson speaking at this film festival. Tell us quickly, what is the purpose of the film festival? Why is it in Venice, California, and why are you in charge?
The Garifuna International Film Festival's focus is on the preservation of the Garifuna culture, including all indigenous cultures. And so a part of the reason why the Garifuna Film Festival is important to me is my culture is that I am a Garifuna. Garifuna is the name of my people. It's the name of my my native language, and the preservation of my native culture and language is urgent, as it has been actually proclaimed by the United Nations as an intangible heritage of humanity.
Well, and tell us, it's G-A-R-I-F, as in Frank, U-N-A.
That's Garifuna. Correct.
And where is your home, geographic home? Where is the center of the Garifuna culture?
Well, I was born in the country of Belize. And Garinago, plural, can be found in not only the country of Belize, Honduras, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and Nicaragua. It's a marriage of cultures, Africans who intermarried with Arawak and Carib Indians of the Amazon Basin.
Now, the Arawak, A-R-A-W-A-K, they were the first Indian people, native peoples, that Christopher Columbus encountered, and he, of course, raped, pillaged, and otherwise decimated them. but they were throughout the Caribbean. And you are a descendant of these people?
Yes, I am. And I am also a native speaker of the Arawak as well as Carib language.
Okay, now I'm going to be a real radio jerk here, and I'm going to ask you, please, because I'd like to get the to set the tone. I'd like to hear this language. Can you say something profound in your native language?
Biti Achilaruni. Biti Achilaruni is welcoming everyone to my presence on your show.
Okay, we'll go with that. And how far can you personally trace back your ancestry? Were your people among those who can you trace your family back to the people who were I won't say greeted invaded by Columbus?
Well, most definitely. So the way in which I always describe it is, for example, my African heritage. Africans who were forcibly removed from out of Africa, taken into the Americas with an attempt to be with the intention of being enslaved. Unfortunately, for those who attempted to enslave my ancestors, who resisted enslavement, which is a part of the reason why they were exiled from out of the island, from the island of St. Vincent into Roatan, Honduras. And so that's a part of the reason why my cultural group ended up in the Caribbean.
So your people were originally, what was the, what's the native word, the native name of St. Vincent?
Yurume.
Before it was St. Vincent.
It was called Yurume.
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 And, that's a lot nicer than St. Vincent. They should change it back. And so your people, I guess your native, forgive me if I'm butchering this, but I would assume that your native ancestors, the indigenous Americans, or as we call them now, Indians, mm-hmm. On your native island of Yurume, intermarried with Africans who were brought as slaves, and then you were moved to the mainland, to what's now Honduras and Belize. Is that right?
Yes. The way in which I would say it now, that slaves weren't taken from out of Africa. A free people were forced out of Africa to be taken, to be enslaved.
That's good. I'm glad you put it that way. I do want to tell folks... there is an amazing portrayal. I don't know if you've seen this, but there's an amazing portrayal, Frida, of the middle passage of the taking of, as you say, free Africans from Africa across the Atlantic, in this case to Cuba. They were taken to Havana. And in the movie Amistad,
yeah,
it's about a 10-minute segment where Cinque, who became the leader of a group of Africans that took over a boat, the Amistad, and were put on trial in the United States, and actually got their had their freedom returned to them, but they were, as you say, free people who were taken out of Africa and attempted to be enslaved, and a legal case came up with for this in 1838 and 1839 in the United States, and.
Yeah.
They were actually found to be not the property of the slave owners, and the United States actually returned them to Africa.
Well, you know,
that's a totally unique instance, of course.
That is a story that is relatable to my people.
Sorry?
I said that is definitely a story that is relatable to my people.
So you have done obviously a diligent job of tracing your ancestry, and are you a resident of Belize now?
No, I am not. I actually live in the Santa Monica Mountains. I am a Topangan.
You're a Topangan.
Yes.
Of course, you've encountered the Chumash Indians in the hills of Los Angeles. Is that correct?
Well, this is their home.
That's right. So you and all those rock stars in the 1960s are in Topanga Canyon. I do say that when I visit my grandchildren in the valley in L.A., I have the great honor to drive through Topanga, which I've done probably 50 times now, to go to the ocean. And it's once you leave the 101, you are no longer in Los Angeles, at least not spiritually. Yeah. You enter Topanga Canyon, and as I'm sure Frida, as a resident of Topanga Canyon, you can testify, it is a very different world in Topanga Canyon from the rest of, California civilization.
Beautiful.
It is beautiful. And, of course, we've discussed this, but there is, for listeners who aren't familiar with this particular drive, as you drive through Topanga, there is a flying pink pig at a, I guess it's a junkyard, which is one of my favorite landmarks in all the world. And I guess you live not far from the flying pink pig. Is that correct?
Not far away from the flying pig, indeed, and froggies.
Have the natives of Topanga Canyon given that flying pink pig a special name?
Well, it's a flying pig.
All right. I thought you might have come up with something more exotic.
No, it's the flying pig.
For the time being, we can call it the flying pink pig. So you are doing this amazing film festival. I urge people, while you're listening, go to Garifuna Heritage, Garifunaheritage Foundation.org, and look up the foundation, and then you can also look up the film festival. So as part of your heritage, Frida, you are doing this film festival, and it's in Los Angeles. At what theater is it at?
At the Electric Lodge Theater.
I like that, and it's in Venice. So what is the purpose of this film festival? And you've done it before, so how many people have come?
Well, you know what? I think so far we have had the exposure, exposed the film festival to several thousands of individuals. Again, the focus being on the preservation of the Garifuna culture, but the Garifuna International Film Festival is inclusive, inviting all filmmakers from around the world. And so we'll have a diverse perspective being featured at our film festival.
Diverse, native, indigenous, I guess we would call it.
Indigenous cultures from around the world. And for me, when I speak of indigenous cultures, even the cultures that are unexpected.
Like what?
For example, we'll have a film that is called Red Passage, and it's coming to us with filmmakers from Shanghai and Hong Kong.
Wow. And now, how does that fit in with a Garifuna focus?
What's that?
How does that fit in with a Garifuna focus?
How does that fit in? When we're speaking of cultural preservation as well as humanitarianism, all perspectives and all cultures are important to be for us to be able to hear their voice, and for them to be able to also understand where it is that we're coming from. So when we talk about Red Passage, for example, Aluna, the fight to forgive, Garifuna in peril, Espiritu de mi mama, to the bone. We still live here. It's about preservation of a society, preservation of languages, preservation of cultures.
So you're talking with the equivalent, what you call indigenous Chinese people who are standing up to the communist government? Is that what it is?
Well, it's revolution. When you're speaking of a revolution, that's the preservation of a society, of a culture, of a people, irregardless of where it's taking place.
So you're at this particular festival, this upcoming festival in Venice, you're having some films from China?
Indeed.
Same for
example, the fight to forgive, having a perspective of what of um of child soldiers of Uganda. You know, the perspective of the Kogi delivering messages to us as a people. You know, we want to know what's happening with the Garifuna in Honduras. You know, in Haiti, in Saint Vincent and the Grenadines. So all of our cultural perspectives.
Very interesting. I want to clear up one thing before we proceed, because it does have to do with language, and it's a bit controversial.
Uh-huh.
Coming from the 1960s, we struggled with how to refer to Native indigenous peoples in this hemisphere, and specifically, of course, in the United States. And many of us who were active on the left came to believe that the politically correct and acceptable way to describe the indigenous people here would be to call them Native Americans. But I then read a book called 1491, which is an amazing book about the indigenous cultures before Columbus. And of course, it's written by a white guy. Well, not of course, but it is Charles C. Mann. He's a professor. He never mentioned that he has any indigenous blood in him, but Charles C. Mann, wrote about this and said that it's actually more acceptable to call the Native Americans Indians, because you know, anybody who's born in America is technically a Native American, including me, who's my grandparents are strictly from Latvia and Lithuania, but I was born in Boston, as were my parents, and he asserted that in his discussions with activists in the indigenous community, that they actually accept being called Indians. And of course, the major radical group in the 1960s was the American Indian Movement. So let's clear that up before the next 45 minutes here. What is the status of the term Native American versus the term Indian in terms of describing indigenous peoples?
You know what? I wouldn't be able to specifically answer that. But what it is that I can say is, for example, if I am referred to as anything other than Garifuna, which is my cultural group, I am quick to be able to say that isn't how I refer to myself.
So you refer to yourself strictly as a Garifuna?
Well, it's my culture.
Okay,
and so I don't identify myself by the place where I was born. I identify myself based on my cultural group.
All right, very interesting. Now, is your foundation, the Garifuna Foundation? It's not devoted entirely to just the Garifuna culture.
No, it's as I had mentioned previously, the Garifuna International Film Festival, it's inclusive, allowing for the opportunity for us to be able to extend our hand, as well as to be able to listen and learn.
Okay, and what is the focus of your listening and learning?
Well, that there's our story, but then there are also the stories of others. And in having the opportunity to be able to still be still and be present with hearing what others have to say, we come to the awareness that we are more alike than we are different.
Okay, very interesting. So let's talk about the actual films that you're going to be showing. And well, also, you have Marianne Williamson coming to speak. Marianne Williamson is one of our great heroes. Why do you have Marianne Williamson coming? What are you expecting from her talk?
Well, all I can say is that the perspective of Marianne Williamson is one that celebrates cultural spirituality. And so to be able to have her support our event keeping us lifted and supported is a part of the reason why it would be important for us to be able to have her. And beside having the attraction to inviting many other groups who are interested in hearing her perspective.
Now, you also have, as a guest, I love Marianne Williamson, by the way. She's one of the most brilliant and fantastic human beings I've ever met. And I'm sure she's going to be terrific at your film festival. You also have, this is a new one to me. I don't think I've ever attended a film festival or a similar event on the left or having to do with Native cultures that's been addressed by a police chief. You've got Police Chief Joseph Paulino of San Bernardino coming there. Tell us about that.
So I can tell you why he is important. Chief Joseph Paulino, I'm tearing up, is very important to the Garifuna community as he is Garifuna by culture.
Oh.
And so certainly with him being a Garifuna, for us to be able to have the awareness that we have the support of a chief of police who is also a veteran of the United States, it's very important to us, knowing that someone that is of our community is representing us.
So he is from the Garifuna region, or he was raised in California, the Garifuna culture?
He is Garifuna by culture.
And he's the police chief of San Bernardino?
And he is the chief of police. Yes, he is.
According to this, he's got...
For the second term.
According to this, he supervises 26 sworn police officers, 55 campus security officers, 10 support staff, and there's 53,000 students in the district there. So what is he going to tell the group?
Well, there's much that he's able to tell the group, knowing that he will be addressing his people.
Okay, very good. Now, another guest you have is Danza Tamashtia Quetzalcoatl. Can you pronounce that correctly for me?
Repeat that name. I didn't get that.
Danza Tamashtia Quetzalcoatl.
Danza Quetzalcoatl.
There you go. Thank you.
Danza Quetzalcoatl is going to be presenting us with our opening prayer. They are a group, an indigenous group from out of Mexico.
And what do they do?
They'll be presenting us with our opening prayer for the evening, and they are a indigenous prayer group.
Aye, very good. It sounds fascinating to me. Is this going to be available online? Are people going to be able to see this through the internet?
That's the hope, that we'll be able to at some point live stream the event and make it accessible to those who are unable to attend. But all of that is in progress.
Okay. All right. So before we proceed now, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about yourself. I'm going to ask you about the individual films in this film festival, but I know from talking, you have a very unique and fascinating heritage. So tell us, please, a bit about yourself and where you came to all this, how you wind up in Topanga, and where you're really coming from.
Well, as I had mentioned, I was born in the country of Belize, and in my formative years, arrived to Los Angeles, as my parents were already residing in L.A., and I would say that, for example, with my passion focuses on the preservation of my culture. So so I'll return back to that. And so I feel that I am a humanitarian to supporting other organizations who also are focused on doing the work, focusing on cultural preservation. And so for example, when you see the Garifuna Heritage Foundation United, who is one of our supporters along with the Department of Mental Health, we work hand in hand to be able to make possible the Garifuna International Film Festival, working as a team. And how did I? I am very excited with the efforts that I'm putting into my work. Certainly, it's overwhelming because there are so many pieces that's taking place with it right now. And with being away from our event, I am excited and as well as looking forward to the support of everyone, and looking forward to be able to put on producing the best possible event for everyone to be able to experience.
Now, living in Topanga Canyon, do you have other members of the Garifuna culture around you?
No, not at all. This isn't a Garifuna community. There isn't a Garifuna community here.
Is there one in America, in the United States?
Oh, you know what? There are many Garinagu throughout the United States. Many living in Los Angeles County as well.
Is there a specific place that you'd go to in L.A. County that you'd find a Garifuna culture with restaurants and maybe a...
There's the Garifuna American Museum in Los Angeles.
A Garifuna American Museum?
There's a Garifuna American Museum.
Where?
Well, it's on 48th Street near Denker, and that's like deep in Los Angeles. In central Los Angeles.
And is there a community surrounding the museum of people who've come from...
There's a Garifuna community surrounding the Garifuna Museum, yes.
Wow. Is there such a thing as a Garifuna restaurant? Is there a specific Garifuna cuisine?
You know what? There are caterers and, yes, several.
Okay, not to sound like a total idiot, but how would you... if we were to have a group, I know this sounds petty, but it's something, you know, when you deal with culture, you deal with food. What kind of food would you expect at a Garifuna meal?
Well, if you're, there is what's called a mashed, it's like the sister, I would say the sister or the family to a mashed potato, but made of green plantains, and it comes with a fish-based sauce.
Fish-based, okay.
With a fish sauce. So mashed plantain with a fish sauce. There's also perhaps a grilled grated plantain that you can have with grilled fish. It's the food for the Garinagu people. It's quite unique.
Is it hot?
Not spicy at all, no.
No, all right. So most Caribbean food is pretty spicy, yeah?
No.
And I assume you're not big on steak.
No, not meat, but fish.
Okay, so is it primarily a vegan or vegetarian diet?
Not at all.
Oh, okay, well, I mean, but it has fish in it.
Yeah, plenty of fish.
How about pork and chicken?
No, not at all.
Good. So I'm going to have to go to this restaurant because I'm a vegan. It sounds good to me. You're going to when I see you out at the film festival, and I will post this on our Silvertopia website. Are the Garifuna? I've never seen. I ask you this because I've never seen a restaurant anywhere that bills itself as a garifuna and a restaurant.
Actually, there, you know what? There's a famous one in I think it's Chicago called Garifuna Flavor.
Cool. All right. Well, we're going to have to track this down. Sounds good to me. And is there a music that's distinct to the Garifuna culture?
Distinct Garifuna music. We have a recording artist. His name is Aurelio Martinez. And our Garifuna ambassador who passed away several years ago, his name is Andy Palacio.
So do you,
the Garifuna,
do you like,
music, Garifuna music is delicious.
It's what?
It's delicious.
Like the food?
I would say so, yes.
Is it? But it's not spicy.
Not, the music is.
Uh-huh. And it sounds like it's pescatarian, right? You have fish, but not much meat, or no meat.
No meat, but fish, yes.
And probably not much dairy either, right? You wouldn't have much
milk in that. No, not much dairy, no.
All right, I'm with you. That sounds really great. Okay, so we got the food and the music going here. What about the culture? What can you tell us about the Garifuna culture that would distinguish it from other cultures?
Well, what it is that I can say about the Garifuna culture, specifically the language, its music, as well as its dance, has been proclaimed by the United Nations as an intangible heritage of humanity.
Now, that's a cool phrase, an intangible heritage of humanity. How would you? What does that mean to you?
Well, a part of the reason why it received a proclamation from UNESCO, not only to bring recognition, but to support and encourage the preservation of the Garifuna culture in order for it not to be lost. With each generation, we seem to be losing the culture more and more due to assimilation.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a very difficult thing here. I mean, this is fascinating to me. I was raised a Jew. Actually, the last two movies I watched were about the Jewish culture. One is called Hava Negila. I watched a whole, 90-minute documentary. It was totally made by women, actually, on the song Hava Negila, which, of course, wound up the number one artist who made Hava Negila the most famous was Harry Belafonte, who's a Jamaican. Okay. So there you go. And then I watched another movie called a documentary just prior to that called When Jews Were Funny, which is about the heritage of Jewish humor. A very interesting documentary, pretty much laid the Jewish humor out to be a product of the old country. So if I'm going to ask you, can you tell us some of the distinguishing characteristics of the Garifuna culture that set it aside from the rest of the culture of the United States which is indescribable in itself. But when you're asked, what does it mean to be a Garifuna? Tell us, if you can, how you would answer.
Whew, that's a very good question. Well, for me as a Garifuna, my cultural dress is important. And so making the visual presence of the way in which we dress stand out, making it so that's unique. The style of our music is unique. The when you look at the design of the Garifuna drums, it's unique, and you're able to those three drums in our logo, representing the past, the present, as well as the future, that is symbolic of being present within our temple. So each and everything about the Garifuna culture, whether it's music, our art, the language, just the sound of a Garifuna word is unique. It's when you hear it, if you've never heard it before, then you'll say, like what was that?
Well, okay, so you have a logo here for your film festival, and I hope some people who are listening in maybe have gone on their computer and look at this. It's got three drums. It seems to be surrounded by film. You said something about a Garifuna temple. Do the Garifuna people have a religion of their own?
Spirit, not referred to as religion, but our cultural spirituality.
Is it Christian?
Cultural spirituality has nothing to do with Christianity or with religion.
So if I were to go, which I hope I do, actually, after talking with you, to a service in a Garifuna temple, what would we expect?
Oh, wow. So, well, the experience of being in the temple would be, for example, the largest of our ritual experience would be a 7-day experience called the Duga. And
the
that
what?
Would be, it's called the Duga.
Can you spell that?
Means to stomp. Stomping means to be present in the moment. Being called to attention, to stop.
Wow. So, I mean, it sounds a little Buddhist.
Well, we are all connected on all levels, aren't we?
How would you describe the actual experience? What would we witness if we went into a Garifuna temple and the service was ongoing? Do you have a priest leading the service?
Yeah, what it is that I feel is wonderful about being in the temple is that there can be 20 of us, and you will take away from the experience your own individual process. So if you are able to leave the temple with being able to describe everything that you witness, that you, your perspective of what it is that you witness within the temple, for me, it would mean that you weren't totally being present. If you're able to say, this is how, what it is that I feel that I've received from out of this experience, then that's an entirely different thing, which means that you were present.
I like that. So it's like the 1960s. If you remember in the 1960s, you weren't there.
Right? No.
So if this, so yet what you're describing, you're really making me want to go to one of your things here. So is there a Garifuna temple in Los Angeles?
You know, my home is my temple.
Okay. Do you have people over on a given time to have a service?
You know, there are no services here. It would be that whatever it is that I bring to experiencing being present is what it is that I have now. This coming summer, I will be traveling to the country of Belize to be present with family members. So I would refer to it as a family reunion to be able to connect to each other as well as to be able to work and process being present. And working towards healing. It's quite unique. There aren't any words for really describing some aspects of the experience of being within the temple, which is probably a good thing.
But there are physical structures that you can go into that are called Garifuna temples.
Yes, but then that is just overall, being in a temple means that you can be anywhere and be present.
Well, we like that. Now, I'm going to assume if I walk into the Garifuna temple,
it isn't that you have to go to a physical place in order to become to be present.
But there is a physical place I could walk into in Belize, and it would be known as the
Gariffin Temple. Yes, and our temple, it's called Dabuyaba.
Ooh, I like that. Sabuyaba. Did I get that? Sabuyaba?
Dabuyaba is the name of my Gariffina temple.
That is so cool. Now, I'm going to assume that there are no crucifixes on the wall. There's no Muslim call to prayer.
It has nothing to do with Christianity. It has everything to do with spirituality.
There's music, right?
Yes.
And plantains and all that good stuff that you get in
restaurant. Whatever it is that you bring in to that your heart desires is what would make the experience beautiful.
Wow, cool. Now, in the Native American church, and there is a Native American church.
Uh-huh.
Which is incorporated, there is peyote. And in the Jewish and Christian services, there's wine. Are there any substances related to the Gariffina spirituality? Any psychotropics or anything like that?
How do I put this? Well, you know, there are all of our cultural foods. There are offerings, and so whatever it is that you feel that that is enjoyable to you, that's enriching to your spirit, is what it is that you would bring to be able to share.
Wow. As a way of
sharing with your community.
I like that. That sounds really great. I can't wait to go to one of your meetings, I guess. When do if there's a spiritual gathering in the Gariffina community, is there a day of the week that you usually do it?
Well, being in the United States, I'll put it that way, most oftentimes it would take place on a weekend.
Uh-huh.
And so if you are in a environment where it makes it easier to be able to celebrate during the week, then it would be, you would experience a Duga like for an entire week. That's both night as well as day.
So you don't have a setup like, you know, where everybody knows that the Duga is going to be on Sunday, and so everybody gets in their suit and tie, and they go off to the temple.
That's hilarious. So there are no suits or ties at a Duga. We would be wearing our cultural dress.
Well, I like that. So, what is your cultural dress?
The purpose for a cultural experience is to as a source of reminder. To be culturally aware, it's a way of lifting the group itself. It's about enrichment. It's about cultural exchange and empowerment.
Well, this is really fun. You know, this is a challenge to make visual and tangible.
Very much like the Gariffina Film Festival, it's going to be several days long. We'll have cultural presentations, you know, from various groups. We'll have our films and documentaries. You know, there's going to be music, and so it's sort of like our offering to our cultural community.
We're talking with Frida Sidorov. She is the founder of the Gariffina Film Festival, which will start in Los Angeles. What's the starting date?
May the 22nd through the 25th. And we can be contacted at www.gariffinafilmfestival.com. Gariffina is spelled G as in George, A-R-I, F as in Frank, U-N-A.
And Frida lives near for those of you who are trying to find her, she lives She lives near the Flying Pink Pig in Topanga Canyon. So tell us about the lineup of films. I've looked through it. It's fascinating. Friday night, the opening day is Friday night, and I will be there. And tell us about the films you're showing Friday night.
On Friday night, we are going to be screening Aluna, which is a documentary about the Kogi people and their message to Little Brother.
Wait. Spell that name. What's the name of the people?
Kogi.
K-O-G-I?
K-O-G-I.
And where are they?
The Kogi are in South America.
Where, roughly?
Where are the Kogi? Well, the Kogi would be in, I think, somewhere in Colombia.
Okay. And what is it about this film that would attract us?
Well, first of all, it comes highly recommended. I would say it's a documentary that it's a must-see. There's when we look at the way in which we're behaving as a world, not being conscientious to the way in which we care for Mother Earth. There's the message of the Kogi as it relates to that.
Okay, the subtitle on this film is "A Journey to Save the World." How?
Indeed.
I mean, in any other instance, that would seem pretentious, but I'm looking at the gorgeous picture here of someone in a native dress who's pointing off on a hilltop overlooking the ocean. Mm-hmm. It's really beautiful. I urge people listening to go Google annual Garifuna Film Festival and see this. What is this film really about? I assume you've seen it.
Well, I have, and that's the reason why I'm saying that it's a must see, and it's one that I would say must be experienced, as it offers many insights from a group that that has a level of awareness unlike what it is that we would expect. And so their message is an urgent message to us.
About what?
Well, about changing the course of our ways in which we handle ourselves and the way in which we behave towards the earth.
So it has an environmental message.
It has indeed an environmental message, yes.
Not to be simplistic, but okay. And now, is that the only film you're showing Friday night?
Well, there's Revolutionary Medicine.
Revolutionary Medicine? And where does that come from?
Revolutionary Medicine is a documentary that was shot in the country of Honduras about the first Garifuna Hospital.
And what is distinguishing? Why would we be interested in the first Garifuna Hospital?
Well, it's a unique perspective in that, again, due to colonialization and individuals being in an environment where they don't have access to electricity and to water and this group with their own hands built their own hospital, which is the first Garifuna Hospital in Honduras.
Does it have electric power?
Solar operated.
Wow. Is it totally off the grid? It's totally energy self-sufficient?
Definitely off the grid.
So
and
this is a
film
about...
Certainly it has its political perspective, but...
A hospital built by a tribal culture...
By the people.
If I can characterize it that way, that's completely off the grid. I assume it's in a rural area?
Yes, it is.
And what kind of medicine is practiced there?
Well, I would say it's Western medicine because Dr. Luther Castillo, who is a Garifuna doctor, physician, is the one who heads the hospital.
Wow. Just real quickly popped into my mind, how many people, numerically, how many human beings on this planet would you say identify themselves as members of the Garifuna culture?
You know what, I would want to say probably about about a million.
A million? That many?
Yes.
Well, that's a lot. That's a lot more than I thought you were going to say. And they're mostly in Belize.
Well, Belize, Honduras, Guatemala, Nicaragua.
Okay. And
the United
Topanga
States,
Canyon.
Of course. Topanga. There's one in Topanga.
And in your logo here, you've got three drums. What do they symbolize, the three drums?
The three drums symbolizes the past, present, as well as the future.
And the one
and
in the middle has a couple of...
And the way in which it's structured with the three and the maracas sitting on top of the drums, it's symbolic of being present within the temple.
God, that's really fascinating. So what are some of the other films you got coming up there? The two you mentioned already seem really interesting. Those are both Friday night, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Do you have Garifuna popcorn, or are we going to have some kind of other special treat?
No popcorn, low fat.
all right, plantains, right?
Well that's the hope.
Okay. So then the festival goes on, what, another 2-3 days?
That's correct. So May the 22nd through the 25th.
What are the other films that you got that, you know, we're down to, you have filled this hour beautifully. It's fascinating talking with you. I've never tried, you know, it's so hard to try and describe a culture. You've really evoked some great images, and it certainly makes me want to get involved a little more. What other films do you have that in the last, what do we got here, like 7 minutes, can you tell us about that would prompt people to want to come to this festival?
Okay, so I'll just give you a list of the following. A Fight to Forgive.
All right, what's that about?
It's about the child soldiers of Uganda.
Oh, my God. That's brutal. What day is that?
I'm not looking at like the entire.
That's all right. So
calendar.
Tell us about the child soldiers. Are these interviews with kids who were part of the war, and then they got out, or?
That's correct, and it's a documentary by Everyday Gandhis.
That's the name of the person who made it?
That's the name of the organization that produced this documentary. It's a very special documentary.
I'll bet it is. God, that's an incredible topic. What else?
So we have Seeds of Freedom.
Seeds of Freedom.
Revolutionary Medicine, of course.
Now, what's that about? Seeds of Freedom, what's that about?
Seeds of Freedom is on the perspective of those from around the world who are working towards ensuring that the seeds that they use for their farms are seeds that are healthy.
Oh, so they're not GMO
and
crap
not controlled. This is sort of like my diplomatic way of saying it.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. What else?
So, Garifuna in Peril.
Okay, what's that?
What is Garifuna in Peril?
Yeah.
Garifuna in Peril is a film made by a Garifuna filmmaker. His name is Ruben Reyes, along with Ali Aliyeh. It's about situations dealing with land rights in the country of Honduras.
Okay, that's cool. You know, Garifuna people trying to preserve their farms, I presume, and their homestead,
their
homesteads.
That's correct.
Okay, what else you got? We got 5 minutes, so see how many you can squeeze in, but you got to tell us
a bit about what they're about. Rushing Dreams.
What's that?
Garifuna Heritage, A Clear Vision, To the Bone, Griot's Lament, Better, There's a documentary called Holy Man.
What's that about? About
a Lakota shaman.
Oh, named what? What's the name of the shaman?
What's that?
What's his name?
I am unable to tell you specifically his name, but this is about a case of someone going to. He was convicted and jailed for being a shaman and so fighting for the right to be a healer to his people.
This is a shaman in the Dakota people.
And the demonization of this individual based on his cultural spirituality.
Well, we know unfortunately, I know as an American historian that the whole history of the white encounter with the native peoples has been to try and wipe out their culture, which is one of the reasons I tried to get to the bottom of yours. Frida Sidorov, you are a very, very cool guest. And this film festival sounds fabulous. It sounds like a great door to learn more about your Garifuna culture, which I hope our listeners have enjoyed hearing about. I certainly have. And it is really, I've never tried to, on the radio, to try and sort of penetrate a culture, but this sounds really fascinating. And you sound like a great person. Next time I'm driving through Topanga, when I see the flying pink pig, I'll think of you, and maybe you'll have me over
for some great food
and music. How's that sound?
That's perfect. It would be great to have you.
Let's finish up. You tell us the detail, again, of the Garifuna Film Festival. I assume people can go online and track down some of these films if they're not
actually
in Los Angeles.
On our website, our links are up, connected to Eventbrite, where tickets can be purchased. The entire schedule of events are already are available. And
all right, very quickly, give us the website, because we're going to get drowned out here by the wonderful Pete Seeger. Tell us the website.
www.garifuna, Garifuna filmfestival.com.
Wonderful.
GarifunaFilmFestival.com.
Frida Sidorov, you've been fabulous. And I'm only totally intrigued, as I'm sure all our fellow Solotopians are, to meet you in person and see these fabulous films. People, you got to tune in and look at the picture itself for Aluna, A Journey to Save the World, is staggeringly beautiful, and I'm sure it's an incredible film. Frida Sidorov, you've been fantastic. I will see you near the Flying Pink Pig, and I will see you at the film festival. I hope some of our other Solartopians can join you. This has been another great hour of the Solartopia Green Power on the show. Thanks to the crew in New York. We'll see you or hear you next week.
Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.